Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Joshua this morning. Joshua. I'll use for a text over in chapter 24, kind of be all over Joshua's life this morning. We're going to look at Joshua, an example for the fathers. Joshua, an example for the fathers. I want to examine his life a little bit and give you some things that kind of jumped out at me as I thought about Joshua, thought about his life, and thought about the example that he has left even for us today. How many's glad the Word of God is good for us even in our generation? Amen. The Bible said in verse number 14 of chapter number 24, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord." Let me just say this. I don't want to start preaching in the introduction, but anytime people get serious about the things of God, normally there's something that needs to be put away. Say amen. Now, it might be something that's not bad in and of itself. It might be something that's bad. But sometimes we trade the best for something that's good. And Joshua said there's going to be some things that are going to need to be put away. And the Bible said here, and I'll just say this, anything, whether it's good or not, that comes between us and the Lord ends up being bad. Joshua said, "Now therefore fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell." Joshua made this statement. He said, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods." You'll notice in the text there's that little g with an s on the end of it. And there's a whole bunch of little gods in the world. But there's only one God of heaven. There's only one Lord. There's only one Savior. And I believe not too long ago, Brother Steve, is you helped me by filling in for me. You brought a message on, "No man can serve two masters." We have to make up our mind. Amen. Let's pray together and we'll get right into this example that Joshua has left for us in his life. Father, thank you this morning for the word of the living God. Thank you for the singing, the choir, the congregation, the special. Lord, I remember years ago I heard a preachers say that singing is kindling. It kindles the fire. God, it sure has kindled my heart this morning, Lord. I'm so glad, our Father, that we can call you Father because of a birth. Lord, there may be those that are under the sound of our voice that know nothing of that birth, never been born again. They would lay down at night and wonder if they never woke up again, what would happen. Lord, I'm so glad that the gospel makes it clear that we can know that we have eternal life, and this life is in your Son. Lord, I pray today that the Spirit of God would speak to hearts. God, I pray, Lord, today for those that are in that deep, dark valley. God, that they might look up, that they might reach up. Lord, that you might deliver them. Father, we pray today for those that are in sin, God, that you might deliver them through the blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your book. Thank you for your blood. Thank you, God, for the blessed hope that Jesus will come again soon. Lord, we just pray that until then, you'll continue to give grace.
Lord, this little girl and her family, 12 years old, oh God, I pray you'd minister to them. Our folks that are getting up in years, Lord, I pray, God, you'd minister unto them. Help us, our Lord, this day, in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. As I look at the life of Joshua and the example that he has left for us, one of the first things that comes to my mind is Moses. Moses was a mentor for Joshua. Moses was the leader that God had set up. And the first thing that I want to magnify in the message today is that Joshua is a good example because Joshua was a man that knew how to follow. I believe that good fathers that are good leaders in the home are good leaders because they were good followers. I don't believe that you just raise up a leader without that man having had someone to follow in his life. The Bible said in Exodus chapter 17 and verse number 9, Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. The Bible said, so Joshua did as Moses had said him. Real leaders, beloved, listen, even in the home, are not somebody that just stands up one day and says, I want to be a leader. But real leaders are pushed up. The necessity is there. And Joshua is a leader because the Bible tells us in Joshua chapter number 1, that Moses, my servant, is dead. But before he could be a leader, he had to be a follower. And he was a good follower. The Bible said, not only did he follow Moses, and you can get caught in a trap if you're not careful. Young people can get caught in a trap. You can think something like this, well, I'll follow God, but I'm not going to follow Dad. No, Dad's that authority that God put in your life. People in a church can get caught in a trap. They can say, well, I'll follow God, but I'm not going to follow the pastor. How many knows what I just said? Paul said, be ye followers of me as even as I also am a follower of Christ. And beloved, listen, you can say, well, I'll follow God, but I won't follow the law. I'll follow God, but I won't follow the rules. And beloved, it just doesn't work that way. Amen. There must be a spirit of submission. And there was in the life of Joshua. The Bible said, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh and the Kenizzite, and Joshua the son of Nun, for they wholly followed the Lord. And I want to magnify in this first point in the message that to wholly follow the Lord, generally speaking, is going to make us in a place where in this life we come under and follow someone else in this walk of life as well. And Joshua was a great example because Joshua knew how to follow. He didn't buck the rules. He didn't buck the commandments of God. He didn't buck the man of God. And Joshua was blessed because of that. Not only was Joshua a man that knew how to follow, that makes him a great example, but Joshua was a man that exercised faith. Faith in God. And it made him a great example. We could never be the father that we ought to be without having the faith that God wants us to have, without believing God in this generation. In Deuteronomy, I want to read a passage of scripture. I pray it'll be a blessing. The Bible said, but charge Joshua and encourage him, strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. When you get over into Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 7, only be thou strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded. Turn not from it from the right hand to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. You might say, Pastor, how do you get faith out of those verses? Here's how you get it. The Word of God. Joshua was a man that followed the Word of God. The Bible said faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Joshua was an example because Joshua's life was molded and shaped by the word of the living God. And God told Joshua, we're living in a land today, listen, in America, where people are trying to be the father they ought to be without God, without God's word. It will not happen. We have to have God's help in order to be a father like this example that God has given us in the Bible of Joshua. I thought about this last night and I mulled it over a little bit. Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter. And I thought about the names that God mentions. He mentions Abel and he mentions Moses. He mentions Noah. He mentions Abraham. He mentions Sarah. He mentions Joseph. He mentions Jephthah. He mentions David. He mentions all kinds of names. But in my mind, I was just sitting there as I studied and meditated. I said, Lord, I don't ever remember you mentioning Joshua in Hebrews chapter number 11. So I had to go back and read Hebrews chapter number 11 again. And you will not find Joshua's name in Hebrews chapter 11. But what you will find is this, in verse number 30, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? His name's not there. But oh, thank God, God remembered Joshua, a man of faith. And he said, it was by faith the walls came down. It was by faith that harlot got saved because somebody believed God. Beloved, that harlot was not saved just because of Joshua. She was saved because of Joshua's God. When you get those spies and you read, she told those spies, we've heard. And you know what she's saying? We believe what we've heard. Y'all are coming. Ain't nothing we can do about it. And she hid the spies. Amen. By the way, if you look at the book of James, that's showing you that faith will work. Amen. It works in the life of Rahab as men looks at it. But it was faith in the life of Rahab as God looked at it. It was faith in the life of Joshua. Joshua, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. God said, Joshua, tell you what do. By the way, I don't have this in front of me this morning, but you look it up. You look it up in Joshua chapter number 6, I believe it is. He didn't even want them those first 6 days. He didn't even want them to speak. I hadn't seen. He didn't want a peep out of them. And I got to reading that, Brother Gale, and I thought, I believe up on the wall they could hear their feet hitting the ground. They weren't saying anything. He said, I want you to do that one time for 6 days. And then on the 7th day, we're going to go 7 times. And then when I tell you to, blow the trumpet. When you hear the trumpet, shout. And the walls fell down. Amen. I'll tell you something right now. This brings me to a passage that says, be still and know that I am God. I tell you, he didn't want them to say anything, but he wanted them just to obey. And by faith, the word of God said the walls came down. Joshua was a man that knew how to follow. He was a man that exercised faith. In Joshua 5:13, it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked. Behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. Joshua went unto him. I like that. Joshua didn't run from him. He went to him. He spoke to him. He said, are you for us or for our adversaries? Kind of reminds me of Andy Griffith. The old fellow on there, Mr. Darling. He'd have this little saying. He'd say, just so we knows where you stand. I'll tell you what. Joshua saw him. Joshua saw his sword in his hand and he wanted to know where he stood. Which side are you on? The question wasn't which side he was on. It was which side Joshua was on. The word of God said then, watch this now. The Bible said, and they But as captain of the host of the Lord, I'm now come. And Joshua fell on his face and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy foot from off thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. You say, preacher, I don't understand what's important about that. Beloved, Joshua believed that that was the Lord. He had faith. You say, preacher, how do you know that was the Lord? Because, beloved, there's not an angel anywhere that will allow a man to bow at their feet. There's only one that will receive worship, and that's the Lord. And, beloved, the Lord showed up that day because Joshua had exercised faith. Joshua, an example because he knew how to follow. An example because he exercised faith. Listen to this part. This is something we need in this generation. Joshua was an example because he was a man that knew how to fight. You say, preacher, I don't think you ought to talk about fighting. I'm going to tell you something right now. You listen to me and hear me well. These youngins are worth fighting for. Let me tell you something. This book's worth fighting for. And not just when we have a tragedy in Washington, D.C. That's not the only time it's okay to pray. God wants us to pray every day. That's not the only time it's okay to read the Bible. God wants us to read the Bible every day. Oh, beloved, in our land, we're using God like a spare tire a lot of times. We want to pull him out when we have a blowout. But Joshua wasn't that way. He was a man that knew how to fight. In Exodus chapter 17, verse 10, Joshua did as Moses said to him, and he fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. He was a man, beloved. Listen, while the man of God was on top of the hill, holding his hands up, when he couldn't hold them up, Aaron and Hur helped him hold them up. And he was the man down there in the valley fighting the good fight of faith. He was a man that knew how to fight. In Exodus chapter 17 and verse 13, Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book. Rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Joshua 1:13, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, your cattle shall remain in the land Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan, but ye shall pass before the brethren, all the mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord hath given you rest. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, beloved, they got the land. They had the victory, but not without a fight. Amen. I believe one of the things that's happened in our land is God's people have got tired of fighting. I believe, listen to me, I'm not trying to be ugly, but I believe sometimes, listen, it's easier just to go along and get along than it is to stand up for what's right. That goes in the home, that goes in the church, that goes in the land. But I'll tell you, that doesn't make it right. Joshua was a man, beloved, listen, Moses, when he come down off that mountain and they had made that golden calf, he threw those tablets down. It upset him, amen. And beloved, there are some things that still ought to upset God's people in this world that we live in. Oh, beloved friend, he was a man that knew how to fight. The Bible said in Joshua 4:13, about 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. He was a warrior. Beloved, listen, we're in a fight. We're in a battle. We're in a battle. Listen, we're in a battle. It's not a battle of Democrats versus Republicans or independents. Beloved, it's a battle for what's right and what's wrong. We're living in a nation, beloved, listen, when right is being called wrong and wrong is being called right. I just heard yesterday that even a big company here in town is endorsing and supporting, beloved, the homosexual lifestyle. I'll tell you something right now. You might look around 2 or 3 years and the big company be down the tubes. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, ain't no company, ain't no man, ain't nobody too big for God to bring down. Amen. I'm telling you, it might cost, but we need to stand for what's right, having done all to stand. Joshua was a man that knew how to fight. He was a man that knew how to follow, a man that exercised faith. Let me give you this fourthly in the message today, a couple more things. First of all, or first in these last couple things here, Joshua was a man that cared for his family. You say, preacher, how do you know Joshua cared for his family? A man couldn't be an example of a father if he didn't care for his family. I've said this often, I'll say it again. Any man can get a woman pregnant, but it takes a real man to be a father. It takes God's help to be a father. Any man can get a woman pregnant. That's not the deal. Beloved, the real father is a man that looks to the Lord and wants to lead his family. He was a man that cared for his family. Let me give you a couple areas where it's seen. Number one, it's seen in the man. Joshua 4:14, the Bible said, on that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. How many believes that Joshua's kids understood that Joshua was a man that deserved the respect that he got? Amen. I believe this with all my heart. I believe, listen, that we need to, as men, that ought to be seen in our lives. Amen. How we treat our wives, how we treat our children, how we treat our Lord, how we treat our friends, how we treat our job. It was seen in the man that he cared for his family. But then it was seen in the mandate. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Here's a man. He didn't take a vote on it. He didn't ask the kids to vote. He didn't ask his wife to vote. He didn't ask the people to vote. He said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Not up for option. It's not up for discussion. He was a man. God knows in this generation we need some more men with a spine that will stand up and say the rest of the world can do whatever it wants to do, but in this house, we're going to serve the Lord. You say, preacher, it don't work like that. Well, Joshua believed it did. And I believe he was a good example. Amen. He's not a dictator, but I'll tell you what he is. He's a man that loves his family enough to lead them in the right direction. Let me ask you something, men. If your family follows you all the way, where will they end up? If they follow you all the way, will they end up in a place called heaven? Will they end up with the Lord? There's the mandate. Then it was seen in the memorials, his care. In Joshua chapter number 4 and verse number 20, watch this now. Then those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan, the children need to be taught. God gave Joshua some memorials, and those 12 stones, they took them out of Jordan. Joshua pitched them in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, what mean these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan. Can you just hear Joshua sitting around talking to his children? There's stones now that have been carried out of the Jordan up to Gilgal. They've been placed somewhere or another. And by the way, I don't believe they were pebbles. In this generation, there were some good-sized men. And they put those stones on their shoulders, if you read the Word of God, and carried them up to Gilgal. And so I can just hear, Daddy, what is this? He say, son, let me tell you about a day. You know what daddies need to be doing today? Telling about a day when God lifted them out of sin and saved their soul. And telling about a day when daddy wasn't always this way. Daddy didn't always have love. Daddy didn't always have joy. Daddy didn't always go to church. Daddy didn't always serve the Lord. But Jesus came along and changed daddy's life. There ought to be a memorial somewhere. And so there's a memorial. What mean these stones? Joshua said, there's a day, youngins, we couldn't go across the Jordan without God's help. But God helped us. God dried it up. And I told them, because God told me to get some of them stones and put up a memorial, because we don't want to forget this. Let me tell you something right now. There's a danger, Dad. There's a danger. There's a danger of forgetting where God found you. Forgetting the mess that you were in when He did find you. And forgetting what He's done for you. You say, "Preacher, I don't believe that danger exists." Then you need to read the book of Peter. He said, when you lack these things, you've forgotten. You can even get to a place where you've forgotten that you're purged from your old sin. Beloved, we need to stay near. Stay near. So here, the children need to be taught. And these stones that were brought out of Jordan, how they were brought from under the water, so to speak, when God dried up the Jordan, they're brought out on dry land. I believe they represent what the Bible said when it said, "Let your light so shine before men." Men could see them. Men saw the memorial. Then the Bible said, "Let your light so shine before men that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Our children, our neighbors, our friends ought to see something in our life that points back to a memorial when God changed our life. But then watch this. Not only is there a part where there's a part of life for all to see, but there's also another part of life that only God sees. In Joshua 4:9, "And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan." Now the water's going to come back. There's a memorial on the dry land, and there's a memorial in the midst of the Jordan. Let me just say this. Men, God sees our hearts. He doesn't just see our works. He doesn't just see what other men see. He sees our hearts. And I believe that's what that represents. Joshua said, "I want you to set up some stones in the midst of the Jordan." The water's going to come back over. Men are not going to be looking at that heap. But Joshua's saying this, "We'll know they're there." Hallelujah. And He'll know they're there. Hallelujah. You say, "Preacher, are you saved?" Yep, I know He's here. Amen. And He knows He's here. And you ought to know the same thing for yourself. Amen. Hallelujah. Joshua, a man that cared for his family. The last thing I want to bring you to in the message today is the example of a great father. Joshua was a man that had a great father. You say, "Preacher, that seems odd." Well, I just believe that we're a lot more likely to be a great father if we have a great father. It could be that on earth you haven't had a great father. That happens. There are fathers this morning that are not even awake yet. They're still hung over because of what they put in their system last night. There are fathers this morning that have children that don't even know where their children are. How many knows what I just said? There might be what you call a biological father, but they're not a real father. And God wants us to understand that our children have a lot greater chance of becoming a great father if they have a great father. But let me say this to you. The great father that I want to magnify this morning is not the fathers among men, but the Father in heaven. Sister Tina, Dad was gone, but Father was still there. This morning, this greatness in Joshua's father's revealed a couple of ways. Let me share them with you. His father's greatness, number one, is revealed in the plan for Joshua's life. The Bible said, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun. He said, 'Moses, my servant's dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that shall I give unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness of Lebanon unto the great river, the Euphrates, to the land of the Hittites, the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast.'" Watch this now. "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee. I will not forsake thee. You say, preacher, what are you going to say about a great father? Hallelujah. He'll go with you all the way. It'll never get too dark that he won't be there. You'll never get too low that he won't be there. You'll never have a problem that he can't help with. He said, I'll go with you. Somebody, I was talking to him. I can't remember who it was or where it was now, but they had a fear of flying. I don't have a fear of flying. I just have a fear of being late. You'll get that after a while. Amen. They had a fear of flying. And I looked at them and I said, well, there might be something to what Jesus said. They said, what's that? He said, lo, I'm with you always. You know what I believe? He's with us always. He'll never forsake us. He'll never leave us. He'll go with us all the way, even to the end of the world. Joshua was a man that had a great father. His father was revealed. His greatness was revealed in his plan for Joshua's life. But let me give you this. You're going to love this, Sister Tina. His father, his greatness of his father was revealed in his pain in Joshua's life. He said, preacher, where do you see Joshua hurting? In the book of Joshua. I'm glad you asked. How many remembers the story of Jericho? How many remembers the next chapter? Ai. They got together. They said, all of us don't need to go up. Let's just send a few hundred men up. Brother Sam, they got their tails whooped. 36 men died in Israel that day. Joshua wasn't looking for that. Joshua didn't know what to think about that. He hadn't seen the children of Israel running from the enemy. He had always seen them running to the enemy. He had never seen them defeated by the enemy. He had always seen them defeating the enemy. You say, preacher, what do you mean he's hurting? The Bible said the men of Ai smote. This is Joshua 7:5. The men of Ai smote about 36 men. They chased them from before the gate, even to Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water, and Joshua rent his clothes. If you'll read your Bible, when somebody rends their clothes, beloved, they're distraught. They don't know which way to turn. They don't know what to do. They're broken in their spirit. And the word of God said he rent his clothes. He fell to the earth for his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening tide. He and the elders of Israel had put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelled on the other side of Jordan. Now, I'm telling you, it doesn't matter how strong you are. It doesn't matter how strong your faith is. You can face some pain in life that will knock the props out from under you. Joshua's hurting. Joshua said, God, why have you done this? Why wouldn't you just leave us over yonder if this is the way it's going to be? But you see, the greatness of his father, Brother Joe, is revealed in a little phrase. He said, get thee up. God did not tell Joshua what Joshua wanted to hear. God told Joshua what Joshua needed to hear. Get thee up. He said, there's sin in the camp. And he told Joshua how to deal with it, Brother Rose. That's a great father, amen, that doesn't run from the problem, but addresses the problem, gets to the root of the problem, and helps the man of God. Beloved, listen. I don't know about you. But what would it be like to read the book of Joshua and get right there and you couldn't find the Father? The greatness of the Father, I believe personally, sometimes is revealed more in our pain. Pain is not always physical. How many understands what I just said? There are some things in life that would be easier to go through than the spiritual anguish. Joshua's even in a place, if you want to look at it real close, he doubts. Have you ever come to a place, God, where are you? I tell you where he is. He's right where he always has been. He's not moving. It is pain. The greatness of the Father is revealed. The Bible said here, would to God we'd been content to dwell on the other side of this Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, shall environ us around, cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? You see, Joshua had forgot. By the way, I'll say something here in a minute. Joshua had forgot what God told Abraham. Honey, when God tells you something, he's going to hold up his end of the bargain. And this outfit running around in the world thinks they're going to annihilate Israel. They've forgotten what God told Abraham. I just pray that we as a country don't forget what God told Abraham. I'll bless them that bless thee. I'll curse them that curse thee. That's what the Bible said. Here's a father. His greatness is revealed in Joshua's life, in his pain. But then, I'll leave you with this. His father's greatness was revealed in the punctuation. You know what punctuation is? There's commas and question marks and exclamation points and periods. I know there's some others, but ask Miss Eve what they are. Her mind's over going like this. She's probably got a list of 20 already. Would you say, preacher, how are you going to close out today? Here's how I'm going to close out. The greatness of his father was revealed in the punctuation. Brother Grizzle, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Period. Pretty good way to end it, isn't it, brother? You go on down just a few verses. Joshua leaves out, I believe he's 110 years old. One of the last things he says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Period. No ifs, no ands, no buts, no question marks. Period. I say here at Bible Way, Brother Lance, give us a bunch of dads. Say, by the grace of God, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Period. I'm going to tell you something right now. God will honor that. You'll get to experience the greatness of the Father. When pain comes, he'll still be there. When prosperity comes, he'll still be there. When victory comes, he'll still be there. When defeat comes, he'll still be there. Because he said he would. That's a great father. That's a great father. That's a great father. Do you know him this morning? Jesus said, when you pray, don't pray like the heathen, using vain repetition. But he said to pray, our Father who art in heaven. Can you say this morning, he's your Father? Jesus told some of them one time, he said, you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father will you do. I'm glad I changed fathers in 1987. I'm glad I got out from under the domain of the devil and got under the spout where the glory runs out. And God, the God of heaven, became my Father through a new birth. I didn't have anything to offer Him. I didn't have anything to trade Him. He came to me when I could not come to where He was. He came to me. Whatever time God gives me left that I have left, whatever time God gives me here on the earth, I'd like to just spend it bragging on my Father. He's been good to me. I have a heavenly Father. I thank God. Do you? Do you have a heavenly Father? Can you say, I know my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Can you say, I know whom I've believed? I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him. Can you say, if I know if I died right now, Pastor, I know that heaven would be my home? There's only one way you can say that, and that's to know He's your Father. To know you've been born again. Let's pray. Father, thank You today for the privilege to stand and share the Word of God. Joshua, Lord, has left us a wonderful example of what a father should be. Lord, I know in the service today we've tried to magnify fathers and our role as a father. But Lord, You're such a great God. You can take the message and speak to any heart that You so choose. I ask You today, Lord, I ask You to speak to hearts. Maybe there's someone here today, Lord, that's tired of the old taskmaster and would like to come to that place where they'd be saved and know that You're their Father.